What's up, everybody? It's your main man, Spice Adams, and another episode of Off the Grid. This time, I'm going to be in Las Vegas, and I'm going to be interviewing my good friend, my quarterback at Penn State, on to fullback at San Francisco 49ers, the fourth-round draft pick, my guy, Mike Robb. You probably seen him on NFL Network or NBC. This guy is the man, dog, and I'm so proud of him. My guy, Mike Robb. Enjoy the episode. What up, everybody? It's another episode of Off the Grid, where I am off the grid because you don't know where I am, but I'm also off the gridiron. You see what I did there? Double entendre, you know what I'm saying? Got my guest, man. He's not a guest. This is my brother. You probably know him from fourth round draft pick for the San Francisco 49ers. What year was that? 2006.
Yep.
Man, Super Bowl champ, Pro Bowler. Penn State QB, Mr. Everything, Orange Bowl winner.
Yeah, all right. Keep going.
NFL analyst, NBC. Yep. Like, this guy is everywhere, man. Mike Robinson.
What's happening? Spizzle.
Mike Robb.
Happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be here, man.
Dog, you look great, man.
I'm trying to be
How do you keep the weight off? What do you do? Elliptical? You look like an elliptical guy.
Of course. I played between the tackles. Anybody play between the tackles, we do elliptical.
Okay, let's talk about it.
Yeah,
I do. Why didn't they let you play quarterback?
Well, you know, the league wasn't ready for that style of play quite yet. Yes, we had seen Michael Vick go through the league, but that was a little different. Michael Vick was an outlier. I don't know if we're going to ever see. Well, we ended up seeing a guy, Lamar ended up coming through it.
But
you see how long it took for another dynamic runner like that.
Mike Robb would have been it.
I mean, you never know, man. Maybe. I know.
I seen it.
I tell you one thing, Spice. I remember going to my first mini camp when the vets came. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling my brother, Aunt. You know, man, my aunt. Mm-hmm. And he was like, yo, what's up, man? Talk to me. And I'm like, dog, I thought I could have played quarterback. But I'm telling you, these guys, I remember watching Alex throw, and he was only in his second year, and we were just warming up.
Alex Smith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And 10-yard outs, every single ball hit the same spot, and I'm sitting there like, bro, this is like a computer. This is automatic. Now, I would spray that out. I mean, it'd be all over a little bit. I mean, it's catchable, but Alex, die. And I remember telling my brother, like, bro, I wasn't consistent enough. Mm-hmm. I needed another year as a starter to have that consistency and the confidence of throwing the football around like that to show off my arm talent. I was thinking about throwing the football too much. So I don't believe I was ready. Mm-hmm. I also don't believe the National Football League was ready. But if I would have had another year as a starter in college, I believe I would have been ready.
Man, my God, man. I remember at Penn State, and I think you got there. I probably was, I don't know, I think I was a junior or something mm-hmm. like that when you got there.
Yep.
You remember that, you remember that party that, you went to?
Dog, are you just thinking of all the funny stuff before I came on? Yeah, you told
hey,
me.
Hey, man, how funny?
That was not funny. I was a freshman. I was trying to get into a Q party. The only Q was 3 of y'all on the whole damn campus. And one of them happened to be on my football team. I'm like, yo, I'm trying to go to this party. I need you to, like, what's up? How do I get in? You was like, boom. You got to use these code words. Something jumped over the moon. Something happened. I don't know what you said. It was something like that. The cow jumped over the moon at 5 or something like that.
I don't even remember what I said.
And I'm sitting there like, nonsense. And I remember saying, like, for real? And you was like, yeah, bro, yeah. And then you just kind of kept doing, you know what I'm saying, what you was doing. So to me, I'm like, oh,
He's serious.
You know, he kept talking. It was all, you know, and then I remember going up. It won't smack. It was one of them cues, one of the three. It won't you. It was one of the other two that was on campus that was at the door. And he was like, what's up, dog? What's up? You know what I'm saying? $10, whatever. And I'm like, oh, hold on, let me. I know the code. You know what I'm saying? He was like, code. What's happening? He walked on over, and I'm like, the cow jumped over the moon at 12 o'clock. He looked at me like, I mean, one of them up and down looks like, bruh, you might need the ambulance to come get you or something because you ain't right.
Dude, when you told me that, I was like, you really said that?
He laughed just like that, too. Oh, hard. Man. The laughter you can feel at the pit of your stomach.
Yes.
Well, it's funny to him, but it turns into being like humiliating to the person.
Let me say this, man, because I missed it, man. Happy birthday, man.
Oh, man, it's all good.
It was your birthday a couple days ago.
I don't like
to
celebrate birthdays.
No, you don't.
I don't
really like it.
Do you know why I don't like celebrating birthdays?
I don't.
Well, when you go back, you know, I like to research and
school
all that
me.
Stuff,
school right? me, dog. That's back that. In, hey, people gotta hear this, babe. Let's go. Let's hear it.
Back in the day, like previous to 400 years ago, previous to this iteration of the West.
Spit it.
We didn't say happy birthday.
What we say then?
Nobody really celebrated it like that. You only really got one birthday, Spice. You're only born once.
Mm.
Okay. And when you celebrate it every year, you're telling all 122 trillion cells, I'm getting older, age. I'm getting older, age. And every one of those cells have 5 receptors on it, and they replicate every few days.
Mm.
And so as you are telling your cells they're older, they're replicating older cells, and it reflects on your face and on your body and how you live.
Maybe I need to cross my legs.
Hey, man, I couldn't do this a few years ago. But
I couldn't either. My junk used to be like this.
You still can.
No, it's up there now. It's up there.
Yeah, I ain't here.
I can't go. I can't do that. That's too much.
So, you all my analysts, you know, Ryan Clark, all them cats.
Uh-huh.
I'm on NFL Network. They on ESPN, ABC, and they crack on me. They like, dog, why? Stop crossing. Because
you be doing it?
Yeah, I'm like, well, brother, so, you know, I might hit the Malcolm on them. Sit in my chair, you know what I'm saying?
I can do that. I can go either side.
It's tough, bro. You still got D tackle thighs.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, these ain't going nowhere. The tree trunks ain't going nowhere, man. Like, I can lose a lot of, but I can't lose the tree trunks, man. They ain't going nowhere.
That's a Spice special.
So what do I say? If I don't tell you happy birthday, it'd be like, hey, man.
Happy solar return. Wishing you many more revolutions around the sun.
That's a lot, I could just be like, happy birthday.
Yeah, you could.
Happy, like, revolutions around the sun. Like, it's too many syllables.
I say it all the time. Like, for syllables. Instance, back in the day, back in ancient times, ain't nobody say, what's up, man? How you doing?
HBD.
I could see.
What if I say HBD?
I don't know what that means.
Happy birthday.
Hamburglar building? I don't know.
You know exactly what it means. Happy birthday.
I don't speak in what the kids do now.
They're like acronyms?
Yeah. I couldn't remember the word. Thank you. I don't speak in those things. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, but you got 2 degrees.
Yeah, man. Public relations, broadcast journalism.
A lot of people don't know that.
And actually, I grew a love for public relations, man. I've actually helped my network out with some public relations stuff. I've consulted with some clients on public relations stuff, man. I didn't like it at first. So this is how it was. I knew I wanted to do broadcast journalism at Penn State, but when I first entered the College of Communications, they didn't have it. And then they were like, yo, you got to pick something. So I'm like, well, I'm going to pick advertising and public relations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learned a love to write because it's all about writing, you know.
You going to write a book?
I ain't ready to promote it yet. I'm about 30% through.
Okay.
I mean, I got the outline, but I'm about 30%. It's about 30% all the way written.
There it is.
But I developed a love for writing, man. And then when I was about 10 credits away from getting that degree, the School of Journalism opened up, boom, and I already had 90% of all the credits, so I was able to just go to school for another semester and get that degree and do it all while I was up there training to go to national football.
So what you're doing now as a sports analyst / journalist, this is what you went to school to become. Like, you wanted to
be this guy
who's sitting here with his legs crossed.
Yes, absolutely.
Did you know, like, at some point, I'm going to hit him with this?
You can't help yourself, bro. You can't help yourself.
I can
dog.
Do it now, man.
Yeah, you
so
can't help yourself.
It feel good.
I tell you one thing. I tell people, Spice, this ain't a mistake.
Mm.
I'm here on purpose.
Yep.
This is something I wanted to do. I went to school for it. Mm-hmm. When I first got to Penn State, I got with Guido. You remember Guido? Yep. Day? Yep. He handled all of our stadium stuff and all of that, all the dynamics at the stadium. He allowed me to get on camera with the Penn State story. I did a lot of episodes. I hosted a lot of episodes of that. So I got comfortable reading prompter. I got comfortable having to memorize some
while
stuff.
While you was at school.
While I was at school, while I was playing. And that was invaluable. Got to the National Football League. First thing I did after you jumped all over me in the locker room when I got to San Francisco, I was like, first of all, I'm on the team with Spice again. That was a big deal.
That was dope.
First thing I did was I went to the PR staff. I said, yo, I want to work in TV one day. Is what can we do? We developed the rookie report. Mm-hmm. And I just would take a camera with a PR staffer. I just mess with y'all.
I remember.
And then I remember halfway.
Because we had the Adams report.
Yeah. That turned into a lot. Adams report, rookie report, Staley end up having a report. The Niners did a good job preparing us for this.
Chrissy Mock.
Yep. Chrissy Mock, man.
Shout out to Chrissy.
Chrissy Mock, she reached out to me like years ago. Say what's up. She had seen me on television.
Good people,
man. Shout out to Chrissy.
Love Chrissy, man.
But that started it all, Spice. And I just kept running with it. Something like COVID. But the lockout year happened.
Yep.
And we weren't really playing football or whatever. So that's when after I got released from the Niners.
Why the Niners release you?
Come on, man. It's business.
I get it.
It's a business. Same reason. I mean.
I don't know why the Bears released me. I mean, maybe because I don't know.
San Francisco, I do know that when I was there, a lot of the same staff was there that had released you and cut you too. Mm-hmm. And those group of people were getting kind of pushed out as I was leaving.
Okay.
The minute I left, and then Harbaugh and those guys came in. Literally, I tell people all the time, they had one draft. One draft. But it was the same people. Same guys on the team that it was when we were there. And they go to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So sometimes leadership is the
but
difference.
You end up getting the Super Bowl ring anyway. So.
Yeah, man. Yeah. You know, but that year was tough, man. My liver and my kidneys failed.
Yeah.
I started training camp.
I had
an ankle injury. I went in the training room and I asked for some Indocin. We've all taken Indocin. Indocin is one of the strongest anti-inflammatories out there. Underneath some Toradol and some of that other stuff. And 6 months previous to training camp, actually 8 months previous to training camp, my wife, we were in Arizona, and she just kept staring at me. And I'm like, what's up? She said, your eyes are yellow. She just out of the blue. And I'm like, okay, we want me to put some Visine or something in my eyes? I don't know what that means. What does that mean?
Yeah.
It was a precursor to liver disease. It was a precursor to your liver and your kidneys failing. It's called jaundice. You get yellow in your eyes. I didn't know. Fast forward, I asked for the Indocin, got Indocin, felt good for the next couple of days. Then I just stopped eating. I just wasn't hungry. So as you know, if you don't eat, your energy levels aren't really like that at practice, and it's training camp. You're going through a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. I stepped on the scale just one day before lifting weights after I asked for Indocin. I was 220. And at that time, I had been playing fullback for years. At that time, I was a Pro Bowl fullback. I had came off an All-Pro season. I was the highest-paid fullback in the National Football League. And I played on game day at 253.
And you were 220 when you got on the scale?
And so I felt different, but I'm like, man, let me see. And I got on the scale, and I was at 223. I said, ooh, that's like close to – that's a lot of weight. That ain't supposed to be right.
From 250.
And I can see it in my face. And so I never remember like it was yesterday. We were playing the Denver Broncos. In the second preseason game, I was going up against Von Miller, good friend. And I remember Von just threw me to the ground. And then even Von, he threw me to the ground, Spice, and didn't rush the passer. He turned around to help me up, like, bro, you good?
Mm-hmm.
I ain't used to throwing
250 around.
But I know
like
you
want,
because I was at first, I wanted to kind of laugh at the situation, but he was concerned.
Yeah.
I usually get more resistance than that. You know what I'm saying?
I thought 250 was going
to be. But it was me, too. He knew it was Mike blocking him, and I wasn't going to let him, you know what I'm saying? Because we got a little competitive thing.
Yeah.
And when he did it, and he took a couple steps, and he turned around, Russell ended up doing whatever, and he helped me up. He like, dude, you all right? And I'm like, bro, I don't know, but I'm getting the fuck out of here. Okay? Told my trainer when I got to the sideline, like, yo, I think I'm getting the flu. I feel weak. I'm going to come in tomorrow and, you know, get tested. I couldn't sleep that night. Cold sweats. I woke up that next morning getting ready to go to the facility. When I urinated, it was all red.
I did not know all of this.
It wasn't blood. It was bilirubin in your liver.
What?
Yeah, it's called
It Billy was some Rubin. Dude named Billy Rubin in there like, what's up,
No, that's the name of the red substance that once it goes through your
Shout
liver.
Shout out to Billy. Billy was in that thing. Stop like, it. Hey. Imagine going to check to see what's in there, and it's Billy a dude Rubin. Named Billy Rubin like, Stop it. Billy, what's up? You thought you was going to get rid of me, huh?
Stop it, man. Okay, stop it. I'm sorry. It's a real
I'm sorry,
whatever,
man. I'm
enzyme
sorry.
Or whatever. Where it goes through your liver and your liver turns it yellow. I mean, orange, yellow, whatever it is coming out. And I'm like, whoa. So I'm looking at I said, whoa. So I called a trainer. Like, yo, I want to scream. Something ain't right.
Yeah.
They say, hey, man, don't worry about it. We're going to send a trainer over there, pee in a cup. I think he just dehydrated. I peed in the cup. I brought it back downstairs to the trainer. He said, get in the car, we're going to the hospital. He immediately said, we're going to the hospital. He didn't know what it was, but he said, this is not dehydration.
This needs immediate attention.
Went straight to the hospital, got my stomach pumped for 2 days. I mean, now I'm starting to, like, curl up. I'm hurting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 196 at that time.
Oh, my gosh.
196.
196?
Yeah.
God. And this is, what week is this? This is like
week 3 of preseason.
Oh my gosh.
Then they cut me.
Bam.
And they sent Scott McLuhan to cut me. He called me. You know, if a veteran is on the roster after 4 o'clock, that salary is guaranteed. I'm already the highest paid player in my position in the National Football League, and I hadn't practiced in 2 weeks. And they know my liver and my kidneys failed.
Dang.
Based off of medicines that I asked, you know, I get from
that
them.
They provided.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. Here's the kicker though, Spice. Scott called me. Hey, Pete and John won't see you at the building. I'm in the movies with my family. Cause I wanted to get my mind off of this and I wanted to be doing something when 4 o'clock came around.
Yeah.
Right? This is 3:58. I get the call. I'm like, bro, what, Scott? Why are you calling me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Scott was with us in San Francisco.
I remember.
He said, hey, Pete and John want to talk to you. I don't think it's that important, though. I said, Scott, for real, we boys. You know what today is. He said, nah, I don't think it's that important. I said, well, look, tell them I'll be over there in 2 hours. No, you got to go now.
Why?
Scott.
Why? I'm at the movies,
Scott, with my family.
We still got an hour left.
Yeah, the movie's just starting.
This is an Avengers. Yeah. This 3-hour movie here.
Yeah. You know, I'm telling him something like that. Like,
I already spent the bread.
But like, I needed him to be real with me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you need to go now. I said, well, Scott, you can't tell me this ain't serious. Okay. Went. They were respectful. I was the only one in the building. They made sure they had handled all the rest of the business. They didn't have a security guard meet
one.
Me. Yeah, I was the last one. They had already made the transaction, but they were telling me now.
Mm-hmm.
Went in there, did my thing, whatever. It was told to me like everything was my fault.
Hmm.
I said, okay.
Yeah. Like you purposely got
like
sick.
Like I got sick on my own.
Yeah. Let me get that innocent so I can get sick. Hey, Billy, I need you to show up in my stool.
The crazy part is,
like,
bro.
What?
Fast forward 6 weeks later. I ended up getting back on the team. When I walked back into that same office, right? First thing Pete said, and I love him, but this is what he said to me. You could have fucked this up. Well, I was dying. What you mean I could have messed this up?
Like, yeah.
He said,
playing this one to
and
me.
And I hope a lot of young people follow you, Spice. That's why I wanted to do this more than anything. And number two, because you're my boy. You don't burn bridges. Because he said, we watched every interview you did. We watched everything you said publicly.
Yep.
We were waiting on you to blame this on us.
Then the ink would have been dry and it'd be like, yeah, we knew it.
But then I don't get a Super Bowl ring. I don't put my name in indelible ink. I don't be able to go back to Seattle for the rest of my life and make money. You see how that go? I could have filed a suit. I could have did all of that. But I didn't. Because first of all, I asked for the innocent, and yo, I shouldn't have been living that way. It changed me. And I wanted to be back on that team because I knew we were the best team in the National Football League. Mm-hmm. So that little bit of non-selfishness, or that little bit of trying to, you know, playing chess, not checkers, or understanding things from a 30,000 square foot feet and not 30,000 square foot view and not from on the surface, that led to a lot of the success I've had post career. I don't know if I'm going to be in TV without a Super Bowl ring. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? That opened the door. Now, I got a skill set. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they would have been able to see me without me having the ring. And so I'm kind of thankful that whole process happened.
Yeah.
I got a story to tell, number one, and number two, I got a ring out of it.
So did you get any information on that, like the research? Like how does that, like, not happen again?
I can't have it happen again. The second one is fatal. There is no other. I had an allergic reaction. I have a rare blood type called GP6 whatever. Oh, and I found out every physical I've ever had in the National Football League, it was in there. And the number one kidney specialist in North America came and saw me, and he said, somebody should have told you that you can't take certain anesthesias. You should be wearing a bracelet in case you got in a car accident and they had to revive you. Certain stuff you can't take because of this rare blood trait that you have.
Mm.
And it was in your file.
The whole time.
The whole time. But again, yeah, I could have tried to fight this and go through the NFLPA and file all this, and I might have got a little bit of a settlement or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then that would have been a then my time in Seattle would have been just straight transactional. I didn't want that. My time in San Francisco wasn't. It gave me my start. I wanted my time in Seattle to be where I became a man, where I became the best at the sport at my position, and where I won a Super Bowl, bro.
Yeah.
And so it meant more to me to be on the team than to make them look bad. All right. So
everybody that's been living under a rock, my guy, Mike Robb, played quarterback at Penn State for 4 years, then got drafted to San Francisco as a fullback.
Running back. Mike March switched me to fullback.
So,
yeah.
I remember playing against the Eagles, and we were on goal line, and you got the rock, and you hit Brian Dawkins, and I was like, God. And I think B Dog got a concussion.
Yeah, B Dog didn't play no more that day.
They had to
shout out to B Dog. I love B Dog.
I love B Dog too.
And this is nothing towards you, bro. I caught you. It was one of them things. You know what I'm saying? You
at some point in time,
everybody get got.
What Marshawn say?
Everybody get got.
At some point, you gonna get got.
Bro,
I was on kickoff return, setting the wedge, and Aaron Francisco got me.
I know.
Yeah.
I was the off back.
They kept rewinding the tape.
I was the off back.
Bro, I thought I broke my nose.
I saw your helmet snap back. I said, oh, my goodness. Hey, I'm sorry for laughing at you, Spice, but you brought that up. I remember that, bro.
Chill out.
Hey, gosh. Hey, bro, I remember that. He depleted you a little bit,
bro. No.
Yes, he did. You didn't jump.
I was going backwards.
Nah, bro.
Listen.
He depleted you a little bit.
Can I tell you my truth?
Because I watched it. You can't tell me nothing. I seen it.
I was the one who absorbed.
I saw it.
He hit me. I went back and I grabbed him, and I was going backwards, yes. But then I grabbed him and I like flipped over to make it seem like I was in control of the situation. And I was not.
Hey, bro, you had to be about that much off the ground.
Nah, I
was like,
I don't know. We gotta watch it again. Maybe I did get depleted.
Just a little bit.
Thought I broke my nose, dog.
I know something happened.
For sure a concussion. No question. I got up and I was like, did y'all see that?
Yeah.
And then I was like, the only reason why I knew that my nose was there is because I went inside of my face mask and I was like, oh, shoot, it's here. But, dog, I was like, I was walking, I promise, I was walking to the sideline, and my eyes was like this, bro. And I was like, did y'all see that, dog? And everybody was like, did we see
so it's
what?
So it's kickoff return. He played defense.
This might have been the first play.
So what happens is he's out there on kickoff return, but then he get to go chill for at least 3-4 plays, at least, right? I'm a reserve. Frank Gore goes out as a starter. So, guys, we're on the sideline at the same time, okay? He walks over to me. Hey, man.
Shut up, man.
You see what just happened?
Hey, dog.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Spice, I saw it.
Hey. The ball carrier is like, no, he's over to my right. I'm setting a wedge up to the, like, why didn't you just veer and go? Matt, that man, he was going for me.
You know why? I remember Francisco.
I was looking for him to hold the rest of the game.
I remember all those cats, because them the cats, we used to always battle for the special team on the NFC side. So we were, fierce competition.
Yeah.
But the reason why he didn't just go to the ball carrier, because, you know, he know just like we all know.
He was
this
coming
is a
me.
Play that's being run.
He was coming
and
for
the
me.
Returner's finding you.
He was
so
coming
he know,
for me.
Yeah.
He got me. Bro. He got me in that play. I'll tell you what. I was looking for him the rest of that game, dog.
Matter.
And I could not.
See, here's the
it
thing.
Was like the whistle was blowing, and I was like.
You couldn't win that.
Because I was about to.
If you hit him, you're supposed to do that. He had already de-cleated you. There's nothing you can
hey man,
do the rest
stop,
of the game.
Stop saying de-cleat. Stop saying that word. Okay?
He got de-cleated. It's okay.
Did I?
And he was 200 pounds less than you, bro. Yeah, it was about 180
200
less.
Pounds?
About 180 pounds less. Francisco was a what? Small safety.
Anyway, shout out to B-Doc, man.
It's crazy. B-Doc, we used to train together at Brett Fisher's spot down in Arizona. Shout out to Brett Fisher. Brett Fisher actually with the Detroit Lions now.
Mm.
And B-Dog used to always bring that up, bro. He used to be like, dog. Michael, you know, I used to have some problems with you, man. I used to think real bad thoughts about you, man. I'm like, dog. I'm just playing football, B-Dog, bro.
Yeah.
B-Dog taught me a lot, bro. He taught me a lot in those summers in Arizona.
Bro, I remember that, man. And I remember talking to your mom, Miss Rita, and everything. Like, dog, I was so happy that you was there at Penn, was there with the Niners, dog. I was like, yes, dog, this is my dog, this is my homie.
And my brother's favorite team is the Eagles. And we joke all the time. That was his first game, first time in California. That was his first time to a game. He wore a Mike Robb jersey and a Philadelphia Eagles hat. It sat in the family section on the San Fran side. And we got dogged, didn't we?
I don't even remember,
yes,
dog.
Did. We got beat.
I don't
yes,
even
we did.
Remember,
first
dog.
First play of the game, he threw a flea flicker.
Scored
on us.
Yeah,
you
I
do
that.
Remember
I remember that. I was like, they trying to end us quick.
That's
they trying
Reed.
To take our spirits
that
away
was
fast.
That Andy Reid, too.
I say, man, a flea flicker, dog, on
flea
the
flicker.
And convert it.
Yeah.
I say, yeah, dog, man. Here we go again, man. Golly. Dang. Oh, man. Dog, I went 7-9, 2-14, 4-12, then 7-9 again. My 4 years there. And then my last year, they moved me to DN.
Really?
Yes, defensive end. Like, I'm dropping back in coverage, looking over the shoulder, like all of that.
We ran a 3-4, though.
I know. You're athletic enough.
No,
man.
No. You was a base DM. Like, you wasn't no outside backer on the ball.
No.
Yeah, they put you as the base.
Yeah,
DM. Okay,
I was there.
Cool.
Like, but
why?
I would get in the nine sometimes.
Why?
Because hey, man, you athletic enough, man. We think you can, you know, be at the end. And I was
who
like.
Who was there? Greg?
No, Coach Nolan.
I know Nolan was the head coach, but I'm talking about who was running. That's right, Nolan did take over the defense.
Yes.
Yeah, he did.
Coach Nolan was.
Coach Nolan did do that. Love you, coach.
Dude, so when I was playing nose, they drafted Isaac
Sopoaga, yeah.
But something happened with his bat in like OTAs or something like that. And so
Isaac was a tank. He could drink all day. He had this Hawaiian restaurant down there off.
The Hookie Lau.
Yeah,
Hookie Lau.
The Hookie Lau. Great food. He sat there all day and drunk, bro.
Bro, I've never eaten
all day.
So much spam. I was on that spam, man. I say, Isaac, sometimes, dog, he'll shut the whole restaurant down and it'd just be
us
in there,
yeah,
dog.
He was good people.
Oh,
man,
the Hookie Lau, man. Ooh, wait. I'll never forget the Hookie Lau, man. That joint was slamming.
Oh,
bro.
I got one for you.
What?
He ain't going to like this.
Oh, here we go.
This is my freshman year in college. Spice used to play so damn much. People used to get so mad. He used to walk up on you and act like he was going to hit you.
Oh.
Yeah. He ended up punching one of our safeties in the face. Yeah. And I thought it was the funniest thing in the world.
I didn't know.
That is the first time I saw Spice get serious. He jacked, shut up, man. I didn't mean to do it. I said, bro, but God, that was hilarious. Hey, bro, hit him right in the face. Nosebleed. Hey,
dog.
Shout out to Sean Mayer.
Super Bowl champ, Sean Mayer.
Super Bowl champ.
My roommate. It was a nasty combo, too. I did the uppercut here, right cross, bam, bam, bam. And he just sitting there like, come on, man, stop playing. Then I said, it was like slow motion. I was like, and it said, bam. I said, oh, my. I didn't. That connected? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
He had to get stitches.
Yeah, I'm a freshman, and I'm dying laughing. Like, oh, Spice actually stole.
And I'm like, I want to laugh, but I'm like, if I laugh, I'm like, Sean going to shoot me with something. I say, oh, no, man. I did not. Oh, no.
I tell my kids that story at least once a year. So they all know you, Spice.
Stop playing.
Like, yeah.
Dog, it was some heat.
I know it was.
It was some
heat.
I'm going
to get some stitches
punch,
and you was playing.
Oh, hey, bro. Man, I'll never forget that, man.
Though.
Sorry, Sean. Sorry, dog.
I saw Sean McHugh the other day in the airport, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Is he?
He's a powerlifter now.
Yeah. He got the powerlifter type build.
Man, he looked the exact same. Man, we talked about you and everything, man. Good dude, man. It's one thing that I've noticed about especially a lot of the guys we went to school with, man.
Mm-hmm.
The grand experiment that Joe always tried to do.
Success
was
with honor.
It was successful. You can play winning football with guys who want to do something with their lives that ain't about nothing but playing football and being successful.
Bro,
and that's exactly what happened.
I was in coach office so many times, dog. More times I needed to be, man. And he never talked to me about football.
No, it was always about something else.
Like managing your money properly, how to tie a tie, how to write a check, like all of this stuff, man. I'm like, bro, I'm a city boy, man. Like, talk to me about A-gap.
Man,
running plays and all that. Like, nah, man.
Joe, the first one that made me go start really researching the darker Europeans. You know, he would always talk about
it. See, he had a different relationship with y'all quarterbacks.
Yeah, we would talk. He'd be like, see, Mike, you know, it ain't just the black guys now. You know, it's Italians. I can tell you about my dad. I mean, that was Joe, man. So.
I'm from Bedford-Stuyvesant.
Bedford-Stuyvesant.
You're from Detroit. It's just, you know, it's just different. And, you know, you're from New York. Yeah.
I used to do, like, speaking engagement with him in Jersey and parts of New York and Pennsylvania. Bro, you just see, like, limousines.
Remember when Coach came back with the, whenever he used to take his little vacation, he used to always come back with that little tan.
Super tan. Like somebody putting him in the deep fryer, huh? Yeah, he did used to look like a little nugget,
y'all. Hey, you always knew when he came back from his little vacation, man. That junk used to be funny, man. Every time,
he
dog.
Did. I think it was 1 year after y'all left, too, after you left.
Oh, my gosh.
He tried to have a serious talk with the whole team, and that morning he was pulling a trophy down. And the trophy fell and busted him upside the head, right?
Did his glasses come off?
So he had a bandage on it, right? So he came up to the team meeting, okay? The bandage is bleeding, okay? He thinks his nose is bleeding, though. So the whole time, he wiping his whole face, but he's seeing blood on his hand, and he's like, see, he pull out his hanky, and he doing this with blood dripping down his face. Hey, bro. The whole squad is like, because you know Joe didn't play that laughing at the entire team meeting and
man,
all
you
that.
Couldn't do nothing.
You couldn't do nothing.
You could barely, so the fork's like, hitting the plate.
You're like, bruh, just stop wiping your face, dog. You smearing it all over your face. dog. It's the bandage.
Him and Joe Serra was the worst when it came to the blood.
Well, Joe Serra, your coach.
Yes, man. For like two whole entire years. Do you know how long 2 years is with Coach Serra, bro?
Yeah, bless his soul. Oh, bless my, his dog, soul, man.
You know, me and Jimmy came in there with the internet spin move. And nah. Bull rush.
Everything.
Every play? You know how tired I'm going to be by second quarter? It's like pushing a car, dog, for four quarters.
You know, back
it's impossible.
You know, back in the day, they didn't teach me the pass.
Dog, we bap. He like, no, what is this? Like, it's a move. It's a move.
No, so you got to. 2 years.
You got to be a hippogator.
When I,
when a hippopotamus and an alligator mixed. I promise. Hey, buddy. You got to be a hippogator.
So when did he?
You know why a hippogator is so tough?
What's that?
Because a hippogator doesn't pee.
It doesn't pee? Okay.
That's what the man told me. I said, what does that have to do with me doing the move to get a sack?
Well, see, when I got there, I thought Joe Serra was like super older. When did he coach you? Because we ain't but so much apart.
This was 98, 99.
Oh, okay. So when I got there 2 years later?
Yeah, he's hippogator's constipated. That's why he's so upset. He can't pee.
A hippogator.
What, dog? What are you talking about, man? You making up an animal. Oh, it's a hippopotamus and an alligator mixed.
You simple, bro.
Bruh, I promise. I cannot make that up.
You simple.
God rest his soul.
Yeah,
rest in peace, Joe Serra. That was my dude, though, man. I used to go check out Joe Serra, man, a lot of times, man, when, you know, when I got into the league and stuff like that. But, you know, I used to come up there and work out with y'all.
I know.
Y'all used to be like, man, why are you up here?
No, that wasn't what we said.
That's what AZ used to be saying.
I used to say, I don't like Spice coming up here to work out because.
I used to look out.
No. You looked out one night at Mad Max, and I almost lost my liver then.
What do you
messing
mean?
Messing with you. And you won't even drink it. You just was just feeding me and AZ. And I'm like, leave me alone. We ran from you and threw those things in the trash can. But anyway.
It's called looking out.
No, you won't. No, you was not looking out,
was
dog.
Looking out.
Reason why I ain't like you coming back to work out because we would be working out. And whenever you got hella tired, you just stopped.
Oh,
we
couldn't
do that.
Yeah.
I didn't like that. I'm like, no, bro, you got to run all 10 of these 300s. All 10 of them.
Just two.
I used to fake falling and everything. JT's like, get up. You failed. Finish. Then I passed out on the 20-minute test, and I thought I passed.
Hey, man, I knew we was going to get some good laughs doing this. But on a serious note, bro, please talk to the people about the transition, dog. Like, leaving, like, having to retire. And you don't have 70,000 people screaming your name, and you don't have that set schedule where you got meetings at 8 o'clock and it's just you and your thoughts, and you probably feel like you still got something left in the tank and it's been taken away from you. What is that like? Because sometimes you be in a dark place, and I'm not just talking about like people, I'm talking about myself.
Yeah.
Like everybody got to deal with it.
Well, it's tough, man, because we've identified who we are with football for so long. And when it's, whether it's the business side of football or whether it's your health or whether whatever the case may be, whenever something tells you it's over, a lot of times we're just not ready for it.
Yeah.
So, like with this media thing, I'm being in high school, and one of my coaches was like, yo, what would you do if you wasn't doing this? I said, well, I love the game. I'm really smart at it. I played a lot of different positions. I love to be able to talk about it, express myself in different ways. I want to entertain and educate and intrigue all at the same time. And he said, well, you got to start working on that now. I'm like, well, I ain't even in college. What you mean working on it now? Like, he's like, why you got to do one first, then it's called like working on both at the same time? Why you can't be chasing this football dream and chasing something else you love?
Yeah.
And that just kind of opened my eyes up to that we can do more than just play football. And so fast forward, I got to college. I've already talked about all the experience I had in college. When I got to the National Football League, we did. I started the Rook Report, did the Real Mike Rob Report and all those things, and I liked it, Spice. Like, I liked it just like I liked
you
football.
Could tell.
You know what I'm saying? I liked editing. I liked everything about it. So what ended up happening is, you know, around year five or six, you know, you start the love for the media and the being in front of the camera and the art form of it starts to rival your love and passion for the sport. And you start looking at it like, wow, okay, well. Yeah.
opportunity cost.
Yeah. And you start seeing, you know, the different things on both. And then I remember I think I fall started deep in our end. And I remember looking up in the stands like, bruh. I don't want it no more.
I'm about to sub myself out.
Yeah, bruh. Like, and I was always a special teamer guy, the only fullback on the roster.
You're a football player, bro.
I couldn't ever be hurt. I always had to play. Like literally, I would be telling coach, special teams coach, hey, bro, I ain't really 100% today, dog. Can somebody else play my role today? No, nah, man, because you're our third-string quarterback. You're our third-down running back. You're this. And I got all of these roles. And, you know, it was always tough. So when I got to Seattle and I was doing the real Mike Robb report, Pete came to me one day and was like, yo, this ain't distracting you.
He seemed like a pretty cool dude.
He is. He's very cool. Very cool. Very positive thinking, all of that stuff. But he did come to me about it. Like, I don't want this distracting you or our team because we got something. Mm. And I took him through my whole week. I took him through how I videotaped. I took him through how I write. And how I edit, I took him through.
I enjoyed the Mike Robb report.
Real Mike Robb report, bro. Bruh. I got about
the Russell Wilson sightings. How much you used to mess with Marshawn?
At least 20 hilarious. Current coaches in the National, not head coach, but at least 20 current coaches in the National Football League right now still ask me about that show. They like, bro,
it's a good show.
We still like that was something we look forward to every single week.
It's a good
but
show.
Spice. It got me ready for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you asked me that question, how was my transition?
Yeah.
I started the transition 5 years into the league. I knew at some point this was going to happen.
Yeah,
that's why I say I'm not here on purpose, but a lot of people, a lot of guys in our position, we set our identity with the game so that when it's over, we don't even think about anything else to do. I tell people, find a love while you're in the game.
Yeah.
Find a love while you hot. High school may be the last time you play, but find a love other than football, and you'll find your way.
Bro, it's a lot of people that want to follow in your footsteps and become an analyst and, you know, talk about the game the way that you do. What advice would you give to them? But a lot of people don't know, like, he went to school for this. Like,
yeah.
Journalism degree, like, all of this type of stuff. So he was ready when an opportunity knocked. He was already ready. He didn't have to go get ready. But what is some advice you can give to people who want to follow your footsteps?
Have something to say. So you can learn the technical part. You can learn how to do stand-ups. You can learn how to read the teleprompter without your eyes going. You can learn when to talk. You can learn how to do a three-person discussion. You can learn how many, like for me, I learned how many, when they tell me I got 30 seconds left, I know it takes me 20 breaths. That's just how I breathe. Like, you know what I'm saying? Without having somebody count down so that you can finish your thought.
I can't count while I'm talking.
But how many times do you have free time during the day? Practice. I look in the mirror and do this stuff. I look at my iPad. I put this thing close to me and talking to it and look at it like tape. Oh, man, you got your left eye be twitching, bro. You got to get serious about this, bro.
Critique
this is what you want to do for a
that's
living.
That's what you did with football.
That's the wrong step. Yeah, this is what you want to do for a living, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I tell people first, have something to say.
Yeah.
Can nobody teach you to have something to say? You see what I'm saying? If you have something to say, they usually can work with everything else. That's number one, have something to say. Number two, if you want to be a pro at this, you got to treat it like a pro. I'll give you an example. I've been on set with analysts. They give us a three-hour show rundown, and the analyst never really looks at the rundown. Or if he does, he just looks at his discussions. He has his answers ready, whatever, but that's it. Cool. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Me? I'm looking at that rundown. I want to know who's the sponsor in the commercial breaks. Because when we go to break, I'm going to play to that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know which segments are sponsored by who. Because when I'm giving my analysis, I'm a play to that. I'm playing chess, not checkers. You see what I'm saying? I want to know, before I get on the show, who are my other analysts? Mm-hmm. I remember I used to work with Willie Mack all the time. Mm-hmm. Willie Mack, bruh, he a defensive dude. He gonna always want to sack the quarterback. I know this about him. Mm-hmm. So I play the discussion to make him look good.
Throw an alley-oop.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Except for you if you're gonna dunk.
Because if he looks good, he gonna bring out more in me.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's playing chess, not checkers, man. And like I said, man, like that's looking at it from a different way. That's showing the decision makers that, oh yeah, he want this shit real bad. You know what I'm saying?
But that's what you and Nate did, right? Y'all had y'all R&B
pop. Well, yeah. See, Nate was with NFL Network with us for a while. And again, Nate.
Shout out to Nate.
Nate, man, let me tell you something about Nate, bro. Nate is a beast, bro. Mm-hmm. I love that dude. We talk behind the scenes all the time. Mm-hmm. This dude is a beast, man. We came in basically at the same time after we were both done. Did broadcast boot camp, NFL engagement program 2 years in a row. Now he's doing news and NFL.
Yeah.
But Nate, I would say Nate understood earlier than me the game. Mm-hmm. On NFL Network, Nate was playing to the sponsors. He was doing all of that. When I was just kind of, and a lot of your viewers will know what I'm saying, I was just a football player trying to be real. I'm trying to be real.
Yeah.
Yeah, realness got you a little street cred, but it ain't put the bread in the pocket. It ain't get you the opportunities like that was coming to Nate. So I peep game from him. Mm-hmm. And he showed me some of the way, and it's like you got to play to that to get some of these opportunities, because we live in a corporate world, and it's all about corporations. It's all about making people look good and all that type of stuff. We can have a whole nother discussion of whether you think it's right, but that's the game that's being played. You got to play it if you want to be successful.
Yep.
And that's how you got to look at it.
Who's the best quarterback to come out of Richmond, Virginia?
Richmond? Me.
Oh, okay. I didn't know. VA. I didn't know if you was like, if you passed the torch on to somebody, like, yeah, it's my man.
Oh, awesome. You want me to say Russell?
I don't. Hey, I'm just asking.
I love Russell, but he don't claim Richmond. He was born in Cincinnati.
I'm just asking, man. I wasn't trying.
He went to high school in Richmond, though. He went to collegiate private school, though. I went to a public school, baby.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Tax money, okay? Well, our books ain't right. You know what I'm saying? All that.
I'm not trying to start nothing, man.
Yeah,
I just want to know.
He came to my state championship game.
I just want to know, in your humble opinion, who is the best quarterback to come out of Richmond, Virginia?
Out of Richmond? Yeah, real Mike Rob. Out of the state of Virginia?
Ooh.
Ooh. I don't know. I ain't going to say me.
You got
Mike Vick.
Vick and Curry.
Shout out to Ron Curry.
Curry was...
just got the quarterback coaching job.
Listen,
not Carolina.
I used to watch Curry film before YouTube, on VHS.
The highest recruited player in high school history. He was the number one player in basketball, the number one player in football. I ain't never seen nothing like that. He just got the quarterback coaching job somewhere.
Unreal.
I forgot.
His highlight tape was stupid. Allen Iverson.
I'm about to say AI was first, though.
He was nice, too.
He was before. I remember seeing AI in the state championship.
Chuck was...
throw the ball with his left hand. Bethel High School. So, yeah, man, we got some guys that came out VA.
Yeah, man. You know Aaron Brooks.
And he was before
Aaron Brooks
all of them.
Was nice.
Aaron Brooks, crazy. He live up there. He live in Richmond by me right now.
It's hey, crazy. So, man, can you tell everybody about what you're doing with the youth? Like, cause I've been to your camps, and it is a sight to see, man. But your ideas of how you want to affect everybody, I think everybody needs to know about that, cause not a lot of people know.
Yeah, man. I got a learning center down in Richmond, Virginia. It's crazy. It sits on. It's right around the street from.
He's passionate about this.
It's right between the middle school I went to and the high school I went to. There's a street called Michael Robinson Way.
Ooh.
And it sits at 2001 Michael Robinson Way. I graduated in 2001. So it like the universe, it was all like boop, boop, boop. It just kind of all worked out. Learning Center, after school program, that's on the community side. We also have another foundation that deals with youth football. We try to teach. What we do is we manage leagues for our area. We're with AAU, so I'm like the AAU governor of football in the state of Virginia. And what we try to do is, Spice, man, we try to provide coaches with resources so that the coach can pull the life skills out of the kid. I tell people all the time, like, the reason why I do what I do, obviously I love speaking, I love communicating, but when I was 9 years old, I had a coach tell me what I was going to do. Like, Spice was funny. We was about to have a game, bro. It was chaos. It's game on Saturday. This is a Friday practice. And, bro, we was 9 years old, okay? And the head coach is, like, trying to get order. Kids flipping and jumping, coaches arguing. And I'm like, shut up. You know what I'm saying? Everybody get quiet. And I start crying. I'm like, man, I'm tired of this. You know, this, that, and the third. I go off for, like, 2-3
minutes. At 9?
Yeah. Coach pulled me to the side like, hey, bro, I can't get these kids or these adults to chill like this.
Yeah.
You got a gift. And he said, from now on, you got to really watch the music you listen to, the books you read, the stuff you allow to go into that brain, because your role in this world, your purpose is to communicate with people. And so you got to make sure what you put in your mind is right, because that's your superpower. And Spice, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about. I just want you to call this quarterback sweet. You feel me? I'm trying to score, and they need to block, bro. Ain't nobody getting up to the second level. You know what I'm saying? But that stuck with me, man. He told me that when I was 9, and it's, like I said, it's not by mistake I do what I do now.
Well, hey, look, man, I appreciate your time.
No doubt, man. Anytime, bro.
Happy solar return to revolution around the earth.
See, all they got to do is say happy solar return. Boom. Easy.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you,
man. Tell Mama Spice I said what's up, too.
Man, tell Miss Rita I said what's up, man. Miss Rita, tell fam, everybody, man, I said what's up, man. Richmond, stand up, baby. My dude, man. I'm like, Rob. I'm crazy out.